Former Minnesota Vikings wide receiver Adam Thielen signs with the Carolina Panthers and then promptly loses his mind. We got all of that and much more on today's episode of Locked On NFL.
You are Locked On NFL, your daily NFL podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
What's going on, football fans, and welcome in to another episode of Locked On NFL, your daily podcast covering the National Football League and all the biggest stories in right around 30 minutes. We appreciate you, of course, as always, making us a part of your day and your first listen of the day here on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Don't forget to subscribe and follow on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts so you don't miss the newest daily episodes. It's Tuesday, so you've got Luke Braun at Luke Braun NFL and myself, Ross Jackson, at Ross Jackson NOLA here to take you through all the biggest stories on this Tuesday here across the NFL. Luke, today's episode, we're going to get back to our yikes of the week, our yike of the week, but we're gonna gussy it up a little bit. We're going to have some fun. We'll go one yike, one like for the week, so we'll look at that. We'll also
a little take positivity.
A little positivity. Yeah, just injecting a little love into the situation here. And then that was like my Eddie Murphy came out there for a second. Just take a little love. Yeah. And then after that, we will also take a look at the lesser known signings that are going to have a major impact in this year's NFL free agency, NFL free agency leading into the regular season. But first, Luke, your good friend, Adam Thielen, has
close
gone,
personal friend Adam Thielen.
Close personal friend Adam Thielen has
Adam
gone
Thielen,
off.
Who definitely likes me.
Has gone off the rails in a comment in which he said that he signed with the Carolina Panthers, and now he thinks the Carolina Panthers can win a Super Bowl. Now you have a very logical approach to this.
Look,
I have a very illogical approach to this.
All right, listen. He's being a good boy. All right. He's been around the block. This is his 10th season in the league. He knows what to say. All right. He's not, what are you going to go back and dunk on him? Oh, Carolina Panther thought the Carolina Panthers would be good.
100%.
He's being a good boy.
Let me tell you something. He signed a 3-year deal with the Carolina Panthers. Not only will the Carolina Panthers not win a Super Bowl this year, Luke, they won't win a Super Bowl during his original contract, during the 3 years of his contract.
You're just betting the field.
I'm just saying. Well, he's out here telling people to take FanDuel's plus 5,500 for Carolina as a Super Bowl champion. So if he can say things, I can say things too. All right. Carolina Panthers. Go ahead.
Here's my real Adam Thielen take. You want to know why this is their path?
Yeah.
Adam Thielen is an inaccuracy eraser. We saw it no better than in 2017 when Case Keenum, famously inaccurate quarterback, had Adam Thielen diving and
except
reaching
for one example I can think of.
That throw was very much inaccurate, and he will be the first to tell you that. That miracle throw, that baby was high, and he came on the podium later. I think it was after he signed with the Broncos the next year. He was like, yeah, that was not a good throw, guys.
Yeah. Stephon Diggs, also famously an inaccuracy eraser. By the way,
yes,
both
and
of those
that's
guys
why that season worked because we had both those guys.
Yep.
Anyways, what's the biggest problem with Anthony Richardson?
Okay, so the
you want to
long...
chase the ceiling, Carolina? You got the framework now to nurture that. That's all I'm saying.
So Anthony Richardson, if Anthony Richardson is the first quarterback off the board to the Carolina Panthers at round one, pick one, he now has Adam Thielen to throw to. That's the long con in all of this, right? Is that you erase the inaccuracy because he has Adam Thielen to throw to. I get it. But Adam, you're not winning a Super Bowl, dude. It's not happening. It's not happening. I'm sorry. I'm not going to let this go.
Uber-talented dude on a rookie contract? Young defense?
Remarkably athletic.
There, Brian the Burns, guy, a bunch of the, people they're excited about.
The quarterback that Brandon Olsen of Locked On Gators described as the player that is, you know, impossibly athletic, impossibly talented, but couldn't hit the broadside of a barn if he was throwing the barn. Like that guy, that's legitimately what Brandon Olsen on Locked On Gators said, by the way. If you want more quips like that, Brandon Olsen is absolutely the guy for you. But goodness gracious. And so, okay, I get the value of adding Adam Thielen. Don't get me wrong. Here's what I don't understand. A 3-year deal for him feels a little weird to me.
One of them's fake.
Yeah, once it's really a 2-year deal, right? Like it's really not that. So, okay. I mean, I probably would have done a 1-year deal, but that's probably what led him to Carolina, right? They probably were willing to say, no, we want you around for a couple of years while our rookie quarterback develops.
And the Vikings, I don't think, were willing to do that. I think the Vikings were going to ask him to take a pay cut, void out the rest of his contract, which is what they did with Harrison Smith, who had a very similar contract. Harrison Smith is a free agent next year, and it's probably where Thielen would have been. And I think this is probably going to be Thielen's last chance to really negotiate without being, you know, having to take the old guy discount because the decline is already starting. But he's still plenty of a player. I think his 2022 stats undermine him a little bit. They underrate him a little bit. He was open a lot more than his stats would show. The Vikings just like have Justin Jefferson, and that's kind of that mouse got to get fed.
Yep.
So that really took away from Adam Thielen, especially then they got TJ Hockenson in the building, and there was just wasn't enough love to go around.
And now though, I had Quentin Johnston in the first round out of TCU, and the Vikings, Vikings are going to have some targets.
Don't do that to me. At least give me Jordan Addison.
All right, Jordan Addison.
Yeah, I don't know that. Now we're cooking. I think this is awesome for Carolina, who is going to have a young quarterback. I think that guy's going to be CJ Stroud in seriousness.
I agree. I agree. Yeah.
You want to chase the ceiling? You want to chase a bazooka of an arm and a dude that can run around like he's. Like he's crazy. Like,
I mean, is Adam Thielen going to get downfield over the top of a defense for you enough for Anthony Richardson? Like,
sure.
I don't know. I think over the middle of the field where Anthony Richardson's going to be a lot more inaccurate would make a lot of sense. But look, CJ Stroud, on the other hand, remarkably accurate, right?
Incredibly.
Right,
and then you just don't have to worry about it.
And then you don't have to worry about it at all. And then if he does have an accurate pass adjusting to the NFL game speed, all of this stuff, then Adam Thielen still helps you out. Right. Like, I think there's still value.
And none of these young guys have perfect accuracy by any means. So whoever it is, it'll come up sometimes. But I think this is great for Carolina. And I actually really like what Carolina is building for Thielen himself a lot. I mean, it was money mostly, right? And he got a deal from Carolina that the Vikings wasn't even close. I don't think they would have sniffed that offer.
No.
In any way. So this works out great for Adam Thielen. The staff that they're building is really exciting, and Thielen is excited about that too.
Yep.
Personally, I love this for Carolina, and I haven't really liked anything Carolina has done in the last like 5 years. So I think Panthers fans can have a little optimism, and he's going to say the line, Bart. He's going to say, hey, yeah, of course I think we can win a Super Bowl because I play for this team. And ask anybody on it, hey, are you going to win the Super Bowl? They'd be like, no.
Yeah, there's a joke that I use a lot about actors that I don't like, to where, you know, somebody says that, oh, well, I really like okay, I'm not a huge fan of who's the guy from like Lonely Island and Brooklyn Nine-Nine?
Andy Samberg.
Not a big Andy Samberg guy at all. So when somebody says, oh, I really like Andy Samberg, I usually say, well, that's good. Somebody has to, that's not his mother, right? And so when I look at Adam Thielen saying, hey, I think the Carolina Panthers can win a Super Bowl, I go, great. Somebody else has to believe that outside of just like the mothers of the people that are playing on the team. So,
yeah, you would
so
hope
good for Adam.
That most of the Carolina Panthers believe in the Carolina Panthers. You would hope that like at least 90% of Carolina Panthers have faith.
But you know what they're not doing? You know what they're not doing that Adam did? Talking about it. You know what I mean? Like, you don't have to say anything.
The perils of
fourth worst odds to win the conference.
You do have to say something.
Yeah, that's fair.
You got to go on the show, man. You got it. When you're Aaron Rodgers, you're Adam Thielen. You got to go on the show, and now you got to get asked questions.
Good point. All right. Well, we'll see if the Carolina Panthers win a Super Bowl in the next couple of years. But hey, the signing of Adam Thielen has real benefit for the Carolina Panthers for sure. And there are some other signings like that out there that could bring a lot of benefit, even though they're not making headlines. We're going to break some of those down next on Locked On NFL, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Before we get into that, if you disagree with Ross and you want to go listen to Adam Thielen's advice, you can go to FanDuel and take
you.
That plus 5,500. I triple dog dare you. You can also bet on March Madness. You can bet on the XFL.
Yeah,
I've been having a lot of fun betting on the XFL.
That's a fun one.
You can do all of that at America's number one sportsbook. That is FanDuel. And new customers to FanDuel get a no-sweat first bet up to $1,000. That's bonus bets back if your first bet doesn't win. So just download the FanDuel Sportsbook app, which is safe, secure, super easy to use. And you can bet whatever from money lines, future bets, player props, jam a whole bunch of stuff together into a crazy parlay. See if you can't get a bigger outcome. And once again, that is FanDuel.com/lockedon to get that no-sweat first bet up to $1,000 in bonus bets back at FanDuel.com/LockedOn. Make every moment more with FanDuel.
All right, everybody, continuing on with this episode of Locked On NFL, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Luke, there are all the big signings out there that have taken place, but there are some of those smaller signings that can have a lot of impact that nobody's really talking about. So we appreciate you very much making Locked On NFL your first listen of the day. Luke, why don't you kick us off here? What's a small signing out there that has been made across the NFL in free agency that can have a big impact in 2023?
You know, whenever we go back and we look at this stuff in hindsight, mm-hmm. I think about, like, we had this conversation after 2017 and we were talking about, man, nobody really paid any attention when the Eagles brought back Nick Foles. But look at the impact that had on everything, right?
Yep.
Well, I'm going for another Eagles backup quarterback because they just brought in Marcus Mariota. And I think the way that he pairs with Jalen Hurts is absolutely perfect. And Marcus Mariota is not a starting quality quarterback anymore. He knows that. And he's willing to take that, right? However, he has a lot of experience now, and he has a lot of experience in offenses like the one that the Eagles can run here with a lot of different arms and different elements and utilizing the quarterback running and utilizing sprint outs and then sometimes just being a spread and all that stuff. Mariota's kind of been around so much that he runs all of that. And a backup quarterback's job is more than just an insurance policy.
Yep.
For whatever it's worth, as an insurance policy, I love that for them. But a backup quarterback's job is honestly like half of a coach. That's why so many backup quarterbacks go into coaching after their careers end. And I think Mariota is really well suited to do that particular role on that particular team. 1 year, $5 million. I think it's a great fit for them. And it's not something you're ever going to hear about until you have to hear about it.
Yeah.
But I really like, especially when you're going to run a lot of read option, you're going to get your quarterback hit a whole bunch. There's that additional risk that you're going to, you know, have him get the wrong hit. He's going to have to get into the concussion protocol. You need someone to come in for a quarter. That kind of thing just becomes that much more of a possibility for you. So I really like it for the Eagles.
Yeah, I think having a mobile veteran backup quarterback for a mobile young starting quarterback is a must. I hate when I look at teams and they have, like, you know, let's say like a Justin Fields as your starter, like, and then Brandon your backup Whedon is Andy Dalton, right? Like, yeah, it doesn't make any sense. Like, it does not make sense. Have somebody that can step in and run the same system for you. Why do you, like, one of the reasons why Nick Foles was successful in that year was because of how much he was like Carson Wentz at that time in his career, where he could extend plays. He could, you know, move around. He could, you know, he could deliver the passes. He could do all those things. He was able to be successful in that system. And the Eagles, by the way, have a long running history of successful backups, right? They've done this so many times before. And now all of a sudden you add Marcus Mariota to it. I think that's a really, like, really good fit. I love that pick.
Yeah, it's like your Saints, you know, Jameis Winston, Taysom Hill, two tight ends.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Just like that. Yeah. Speaking of tight ends, no, I don't have a tight end on my list. Oh, I do have a tight end on my list. I just knocked over my light. Don't cut this out. Don't cut this out. I want this to stay. Because this is just us having a lot of fun today. I just punched the living daylights out of my light in the background. Living daylights out of my light. Okay, I do have a tight end. I like the signing. And maybe this one's a little bit more talked about, but I don't feel like it has been. I like the signing of Mike Gesicki to the New England Patriots. New England Patriots are obsessed with tight ends. They really are. Like, Bill Belichick's got a tight end problem, and somebody's got to get this taken care of and addressed at some point after his NFL career. But I think, like, getting a real threat there, I mean, real pass-catching threat, is such a big deal for them. And then getting him from across the division, it only adds to the narrative, right? New England versus Miami, all that other stuff. You've got Mac Jones. You might have Bailey Zappi. And you could potentially, you know, whoever it is that is taking snaps and who's hurt, who's not hurt, all those other things, having a good pass catching tight end out there that can be the sort of security blanket for those guys, I think, is massive for them. Their security blanket last year, Jakobi Meyers, is now in Las Vegas. So you add a guy like Mike Gesicki who comes in and ends up helping you out there. I think that's a great addition for what is still kind of like a growing New England roster. Like, it's still not a very old, experienced roster at this time, particularly over in the offensive side. So I think adding a guy like him goes a long way. Now, you got to add more, don't get me wrong, but I do think that he could see 50, 60 catches in 2023 and have a real impact for that team.
Yeah, I don't, it's so hard with Gesicki in particular because mm-hmm. he's so low value as a blocker.
Yeah, it keeps him off
really
the field.
Hard. Yeah. And it's really hard to see what to do with him because it's like, oh, okay, well, you can just be a speedy pass catching tight end. We'll just only use you as a pass catching tight end. But kind of the point of it, like, put a wide receiver on the field then.
Yeah.
Like, the point of a tight end is that they kind of can do both and it lets you fake one and do the other and that versatility and, you know, many jobs, one roster spot, that whole deal. That's always been the weird thing with Mike Gesicki. I'm curious to see what the Patriots do. Cause even in their, you know, their heyday of Rob Gronkowski and the other guy,
that guy,
you know, him, even with that, you know, those guys both did both things.
Yep.
And, you know, they had their usefulness in the run. I mean, Rob Gronkowski kind of almost an underrated blocker because nobody ever talked about it. So I'm curious to see where the Patriots take that.
Yeah, yeah, I am too. But hopefully they could develop him as a blocker, gets him out on the field a little bit more, and then all of a sudden he's there. But Miami couldn't do it. If Bill Belichick can't, then no one can. So we'll see. We'll see how it goes. All right, who's your next one?
If they can scheme that up. My next one is a former Patriot who stays in the AFC East. A different AFC East to AFC East move. Damian Harris to the Bills. They just did this as we record this. I like it. I always thought Damian Harris kind of deserved more run than just being on that Patriots committee.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, the Bills didn't break the bank on their running back. They have spent a lot of draft capital on running back in the last three-ish years.
Yep.
And it kind of felt like they were careening toward doing something that I really wanted them to do because I think it would benefit my team, which is trade for Dalvin Cook and reunite him with his brother. And that would have been mightily more expensive than this and probably just marginally better. So I think that, and I think this takes them out of that running, which is probably wise for them. I think that especially at running back, which is a position whose value has been so deflated, for people who are like, why are they spending? They're not spending on running backs anymore. You did it.
Nope.
All right. It's over.
Yeah. We can stop now.
It's almost kind of coming around to a point where it's like, okay, if I can put this much money into a reason, like less than $4 million into a guy and know that I'm going to get a tangible contribution from that guy on every single drive, right? Or like every quarter of every game, like he's going to be consistently on the field doing stuff. You know, when I think of like, it's like the cap version of drafting a sixth rounder and knowing that that guy's not only going to make the team, but he's going to be on the field all the time.
Yep.
That becomes a more efficient use of that resource. And I think the Bills kind of thread that needle really well with this one.
Yeah, I think so too. That's a good one. And especially losing Devin Singletary this offseason or moving on from Devin Singletary this offseason, which we'll actually get to here in just a moment. I'm going to wrap things up here with a running back as well. A lot of offense in this. I'm going to go with Rashad Penny to the Eagles. And I know Rashad Penny has dealt with injuries, everything like that. But man, when that dude is on the field, he is awesome. He is. Mm-hmm. It reminds me of Chris Carlson. Chris Carlson? I can't remember that. The other running back that used to be in Seattle who like ended up retiring at the end of
Chris
the,
Carson.
Chris Carson. Or, thank you. Yeah. And so like it reminds me a lot of him in that like when he was on the field, he was really, really good, but he's been dealing with injuries. But now you get him over in Philly where the quarterback is running the ball. They brought back Boston Scott. They've got Kenneth Gainwell. Now you add, Miles Sanders, of course, is now signed with the Carolina Panthers. But now you add, Rashad Penny to this committee. And it gives him a system that is very much like with the Seattle Seahawks system that because of the running quarterback and the team's willingness to commit to the running quarterback, take some carries off of your workload and perhaps ends up extending you a little bit. I really love the fit of Rashad Penny, and he's the type of running back that Philadelphia just doesn't have right now, right? In terms of this big bruiser type of guy that's also got really good speed and a lot of talent, great feet, all those things. So I really like that signing. I love Rashad Penny to the Eagles.
Speaking of things, well, we maybe don't love, but maybe things we like, and maybe things we yike a little bit as well. We're going to do our little yike or like. The yike is a Tuesday Locked On NFL tradition by this point, so we'll give you a little bit of that. Before we get into that, however, it is March, and that means that there's brackets for everything, including Built Bar, Built March Madness. The bracket is here. Y'all have your favorite flavors, and every time in like Locked On group chats, every time like we start talking about it, it will derail everything. It'll go on for hours. So let's settle this. Okay. Go to builtmarchmadness.com and vote for your favorite flavor, whether it's a coconut brownie chunk, one of the puffs kinds, or one of the more standard kinds. If you want that one to win, then you can vote for that bar to support your team, support your bar or puff. And when you vote for your favorite, this isn't just for funsies, you get entered to win, be one of 50 lucky Locked On listeners that get a free box of Built. Not only that, but one of y'all will get a 12-month subscription to Built to have the Built's best bars or puffs delivered monthly straight to your door for a whole year. You got to try Built. It is absolutely delicious. The best tasting protein bar on the planet, covered in 100% chocolate, low fat, low sugar, low calorie, chock full of protein, everything you could ever want. So go to builtmarchmadness.com right now to vote for your favorite bar or puff and pick up a box while you're there. You can vote every day in March. So hop in, support your pick, and keep coming back.
All right, everybody, we are wrapping up this episode of Locked On NFL, part of Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Luke Braun and I have a tradition here on the show. We give you a yike of the week. Today, we're spicing it up a little bit, injecting a little positivity into it. Mm-hmm. So we got a yike and a like. But Luke, for tradition's sake, let's start with the yike of the week. What you got?
Okay. My yike goes to the Stanford women's basketball team. One seeded in the round of 32, or the women's side of March Madness. And, you know, we've seen a couple of one seeds go down on both sides now. On the men's and the women's side. And it always takes the same shape. It's always a team that you can tell that they just have more talent and they just cannot keep it together. And then suddenly the specter of losing way earlier than you're supposed to, you can see it get into their heads. And boy, did that happen to Stanford.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Turnovers, just like launching ill-advised passes directly to Ole Miss, to dark navy blue jerseys. It was an absolute catastrophe. The last like 30 seconds of that game, tied 49-49 from there, with like 41 seconds, I think, to go. Just a total meltdown. They end up losing. They end up, they're fouling by, you know, 18 seconds to go. Just disgusting. Yike. Stanford, yike.
Yike. And yike to all the takes that said that the SEC women's teams were too, that the SEC women's bracket was too weak. Or division conference.
It's a take.
Yeah,
LSU is annihilating
is really good.
People. Yeah,
South Carolina's phenomenal. Ole Miss is knocking out
South
one seed.
It's like the Duke of the women's side.
Right, right. If people were saying, "Oh, the SEC is weak UConn this year," it's like, yeah, well, you know, a little bit of women's college basketball talk here on Locked On NFL. I love it. All right, let me go with my yike of the week today.
Shout out to Erica.
My yike today is CJ Gardner-Johnson's market. Not C.J. Gardner-Johnson, but the market. The New Orleans Saints traded C.J. Gardner-Johnson away a year ago for a fifth-round pick and a future sixth-round pick. And when that happened, everybody went, they should have just kept him and gotten a better compensatory pick at the end of the year, right? Well, now C.J. Gardner-Johnson done gone went side of one-year deal worth up to $8 million. 6.5 is what's going to actually count into the compensatory pick formula, which is effectively a sixth-round selection. So New Orleans Saints actually kind of ended up on the better side of all this. They got a better return than they would have gotten had they let him go. Because keep in mind, too, that C.J. Gardner-Johnson had 6 interceptions last year playing safety, which is a role he would not have played in New Orleans. But now to get away from the New Orleans part of it, just the sheer kind of weirdness of his market, getting 6 interceptions in Philly, playing as a starting safety. He only played about 152 snaps in the slot. Okay, not about 152, exactly 152 snaps in the slot. All 6 of his interceptions came from playing safety. Gets into what was already a weird safety market this offseason anyway, right? Safety, running back, and then kind of wide receiver were weird late-moving markets this year, with the exception of Jesse Bates, of course. And then after that, just sits on the market for a whole week. After having a multi-year offer, according to Jim Trotter over at NFL.com and NFL Network, having a multi-year deal on the table from Philly, not taking that deal, going, getting the deal from Detroit, giving Philly reportedly the option to match that deal, and them choosing not to match the one-year $6.5 up to $8 million deal, and now he's a Detroit Lion, which does reunite him with some coaches that he's familiar with, Dan Campbell, as well as who's their head coach, formerly of the New Orleans Saints as a tight end coach, and then, of course, was with Aaron Glenn in New Orleans as well, who's now their defensive coordinator. So
he bet on himself.
Couple of lessons.
Prove more than that, yeah.
Couple of lessons. Should have called St. Omni is the first one. The second lesson is that you can't go talking trash about coaches in post-game interviews and on Twitter, man. You can't do it. You can't do it. They're not going to sign you, dog.
That's right.
They're not going to sign you.
You can't stop an instigator from instigating, okay? That's what he does.
I know it's what he does. I saw it up close and personal, but they're not going to sign you, dog. Yike. Yike.
Oh, buddy. Picked the wrong guy to try to bait into punching him in the face. Instead of punching him in the face, it cost him millions of dollars.
Millions,
possibly, in a multi-year contract.
I hope he has an amazing year in Detroit. I really do.
I do not.
I hope he has an amazing... That's fair. That's fair. Division. That makes sense.
That's just a Detroit thing. I love CJGJ. I love a good heel. But yeah. Sorry, can't do it in the NFC North. Should have gone to Atlanta or something. Let's be positive, though.
Let's be positive.
I have a like that actually just broke as we were recording this.
Nice.
Cam Newton, at the age of 33, is going to throw at Auburn's Pro Day to try to get back into the NFL. Never give up on your dreams.
Never.
I love it.
Never.
I cannot stand that he tweeted it with his weird font thing. That is awful, and I'm never going to love it. But you know what? Never give up, man. I want to see, like I want to see some like Vinny Testaverde level of never give up, you know, like this to be a backup into your 40s, kind of like kickers are nowadays.
Yeah.
Just keep swimming, man. Just keep plugging away and go back to your alma mater from where that you graduated from in 2010 and see if they'll let you throw out their pro day, which of course they will.
Of course they will. Newton. Yeah. Of course.
He's only 33.
Do you?
You're in Kirk Cousins.
It's true. Do you worry that that takes away from the potential Auburn draft prospects and the attention that they would otherwise be getting because Cam Newton is there? Like, does that overshadow them a little bit? Yeah, I know. It could go one way or the other, right? Like, either it overshadows the prospects, which I feel is less likely, or it brings a lot more attention to the pro day as a whole, which has its benefit.
So here's the thing. I'm just looking up at. I don't think they have a quarterback that would otherwise be throwing.
No, I'm thinking about like, do they have any wide? I don't think they have any wide, like really like top end wide receivers going into this year's market either.
No, they have.
So that's more so what I'm worried
Tank
about.
Tank Bigsby, I think, is probably the biggest prospect running back out of Auburn.
Yeah,
probably the biggest one, and he'll catch passes from Newton.
Yeah, and then the other guys are defensive. He'll Derek Hall, routes. Stuff like that. Yeah.
All yeah. Right, good. Yeah, and a bunch of defensive guys and stuff. But, you know, you're going to go to scout Cam Newton. You're going to get your take on him after a little bit, and then they bring the defensive guys on the field. What, are you going to leave? No, you're going to watch defensive guys. You might not have seen otherwise. I think it'll help.
Big like.
Big like.
All right, I'll wrap us up with my like of the week. It's the Houston Texans. I like what the Houston Texans have done in the second wave of free agency. Just on Monday, they signed tight end Dalton Schultz, replacing O.J. Howard, who ended up going to the Las Vegas Raiders in whatever it is the Las Vegas Raiders are doing. And so they've got Dalton Schultz there, who's like a good blocker. He's not the same guy that we just discussed with Mike Gesicki, right? Like, he's a guy that can block for you. He's also a really good pass catcher as well. Had over over 900 yards just a couple years ago, if I recall correctly. In a very pass happy system, they're going to have a young quarterback there that's going to love having a really solid tight end to throw to,
blanket type guy.
Yeah, and then where they already have one of the best young running backs in the NFL and Damian Pierce, they add Devin Singletary, who I think is going to be a really good complement to that team, and again gives you another security blanket if you're a quarterback. You get a check down option out of the backfield in Devin Singletary, but also a veteran running back to pair with your young explosive running back, Damian Pierce. You get two really solid pass blockers in the backfield as well, which also extends the lifespan of that young quarterback in the NFL. And especially if that quarterback is going to be Bryce Young, who we have to ask questions about in terms of size and being hit and all these other things. Getting guys that are going to help protect him, but also be potential quick outlets for him in the quick passing game, I think is excellent. I like very much what the Houston Texans have done.
I really like the way that they've behaved in the last like calendar year-ish, because their draft was, I love Derek Stingley. I will not quit him. Kenyon Green up front. I think they're pretty happy with that. Jalen Peter, John Metchie. Like they, and of course,
yeah,
Damian Pierce
too. Huge one. I really like that pick.
Yeah, I really liked that Texans draft, and it's just kind of hard to tell what's going on there because it's just such a kind of, they're still in kind of, I don't even want to call it no man's land, but they're just sort of floating out, directionless out in space, but now it feels like they've found that direction.
Yeah.
And with this pick, whichever quarterback they get, and I don't think that there's an outcome where they don't have access to a quarterback they love. I think they, if you don't love CJ Stroud and Bryce Young, I think you're insane, right?
Yeah.
You're going to get one of them. This is, I think Texans fans can feel good for the first time ever. And plus the bad man is gone.
Yes.
Or one of them.
One of the bad men is gone. You have D'Amico Ryans in as your head coach. Lovie Smith's plan worked out perfectly, right? Like he lost the last game. Yeah. They didn't get the number one overall pick. And then Carolina traded up to number one. So you're stuck at two. But like you mentioned, you're still going to get one of your quarterbacks. Like you're still going
to
get the guys.
I don't think the Texans need to be that broken up about that. They're going to end up with Bryce Young and be totally happy. Like whatever. Yeah.
It's just cool to see the plan go full circle and come to fruition and the team still be okay, nonetheless. So, like, shout out to Lovie Smith, but also shout out to the Houston Texans for staying alive. Staying alive, staying alive. All right.
That's enough of that. Thanks for listening to Lockdown NFL Podcast. You can find tomorrow, you can Tony and James coming in to figure out whatever news is going down. Maybe we'll finally figure out what happens with Aaron Rodgers. And if he is going to the Jets or not,
please,
whatever it is, come on down to the Locked On NFL Podcast, which you can find wherever you listen to your favorite shows, including YouTube. For Ross, I'm Luke. Thank you so much for listening once again to the Locked On NFL Podcast.